Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
One of England's most adventurous songwriters takes a hard look at England. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, PJ Harvey talks about her latest album, Let England Shake. And later, a former member of the Drive-By Truckers, Jason Isbell, brings his Alabama-based band, The 400 Unit, to play live in the Soundcheck studio. But we start with the English musician, Polly Jean Harvey. Since she started releasing albums under the name PJ Harvey in 1992, each new record has sounded different from its predecessor. Her latest is called Let England Shake, and it is a sweeping affair. On many of the record's 12 tracks, she sings about the beauty and the ugly side of her native country, especially those killed and widowed during England's wars. The album also finds the guitarist and singer playing some different instruments and weaving pre-existing music into her own songs. Polly Jean Harvey, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, nice to be here.
Well, I know you've probably spent a good deal of your time telling people that this is not a record just specifically about England and war. And yet England and war certainly are repeating ideas and images that crop up through this record. What led you in this direction now?
Well, I've always been very politically engaged as a person, and ever since I was very young, and profoundly affected by what's happening in the world. And I had reached a stage finally with my writing that I thought I had enough experience now to begin to try and put words around these things that I care about and am so affected by. But I really hadn't felt confident enough with my skills as a writer to attempt that before, because I think that to do such things, when dealing with such large subject matter, you have to do it well or don't do it at all. And that I really didn't feel that I had reached a stage as a writer before the last couple of years that I was ready to tackle it. It was that, coupled with a greater sense of urgency because of the world that we live in, and just feeling more profoundly affected, that I really wanted to put my voice out there and to use this wonderful opportunity that I have with a voice that's going to be heard.
So do you consider Let England Shake to be a political record?
I do, yes, actually. I think it is. Having said that, I was very careful to use language that was based largely in what I would call the human being. I mean, that was always my ground, my root, my starting point, was that very simple stories about the eyewitnesses, the person on the ground that is affected. Those are the stories I'm interested in, rather than using any grand political language. I wanted the very simple human language.
Well, I mentioned before in the lead into the show how each of your records has been different one from the other, but one of the consistent things seems to be that you do kind of inhabit characters when you write songs. So that idea of, you know, getting the first-hand account, was that part of the basic research into the characters of this album?
Yes, I did a large amount of research, obviously reading a lot of history books, but also watching as many documentaries as I could and gathering as many first-hand accounts as I could, whether that was in written letters from as far back as World War I, or whether it was in spoken word filmed, or whether it was people's blogs contemporarily, what's going on in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Just as much as I could to hear the words that were coming out of the mouths of the people that are in the areas affected. But like you said, I've always used the different techniques of writers within my songwriting, so adopting different narratives, different monologue, adopting different characters and lives through which to show different perspectives of the themes that I'm interested in. And I've always done that. You know, I don't feel that this record is any different to the others in that, really.
Mm-hmm. But the subject matter, at times, is pretty grim, even gruesome in The Words That Maketh Murder, for example. What's the point of view that we're getting in this song?
Well, I think one can only reflect the world around them as an artist. That's what you do. And obviously the world we're in is a very brutal world. That's why the language is brutal. It's as simple as that. And I wanted within this body of work to be relaying the stories, recounting the things that had been seen, that had been witnessed, in an unbiased way as possible. I saw the voice, the words, the singer, as simply the narrator in an impartial role, in the way that maybe a foreign correspondent would relay the news from where they're stationed, in an unbiased way as possible. And so that, I felt, was my role within this as well. So I never try and give any sort of interpretation of the songs, for that reason, that it really is open to the reader, the listener, of what they make of them. But my part in it was impartial, really.
This song is from the album Let England Shake. It is the current release from PJ Harvey. The song is called The Words That Maketh Murder.
I've seen and done things I want to forget. I've seen soldiers fall like lumps of meat, blown and shot out beyond belief.
Called The Words That Maketh Murder. It comes from Let England Shake, a recent release from PJ Harvey, who's my guest on Soundcheck today. You used the word brutal a moment ago to talk about some of the imagery, some of the language, but that is offset by some really beautiful music, much of it, some of it at least, built around the sound of, is it a zither or an auto harp?
It's both. I have a zither and I have two different auto harps, which I've had reconfigured into some quite unusual tunings. I didn't want to just use a standard instrument, so I had them changed into tunings that I knew that would push me into different areas musically. So I chose keys that I never usually use. And by doing that, it also pushed my voice into very new areas and the melodies. But I did something differently this time as well, in that I only wrote the words and concentrated on the words for a period of about 2 years. I didn't touch an instrument. I didn't do anything other than work at the words as poems or as short pieces of prose. And I think that's really helped me come up with some stronger material for that reason, because it had to work on the page and it didn't have the luxury of music helping to hold it together. And then when I felt I had got together enough strong pieces, there, it was only then that I began to sing the words and still didn't touch an instrument. But I did it in this way because I knew that that would force me to come up with very simple melodies. And I kept it at the forefront of my mind that these melodies I knew needed to be uplifting, almost joyous, and have a great deal of beauty and love in them, because the words already had so much heaviness and brutality that to have added any more to that would have sunk them. Mm-hmm. So I needed something that would lift those words up and move them to the ear in a lighter way as possible.
So you want drama, you don't want melodrama.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're speaking with PJ Harvey. The album is called Let England Shake. How long was this? Did this process take of writing the song? It sounds like a very painstaking way of going about it.
Well, I wouldn't say painstaking because I thoroughly enjoy my work. There's nothing else I'd rather do. But it was a lot of work, and I still work every day at my writing because it's something that I care about and want to learn and develop, hopefully to get better at. So for this album, I think I probably started working on the words around 2007. So it was a long journey. And, you know, we finished recording the record June of last year.
And the idea of trying to keep the melodic material simple, you also imported melodies from other places when it seemed appropriate. In Written on the Forehead, there's this old reggae classic, Blood and Fire, that you sample a little bit of the chorus. How did you make those decisions?
Well, often when I was working on the words in this slow process, I would almost find a phrase of a particular piece of music that I loved or had been listening to recently playing as a loop in my head. And I would be working on the words, for instance, to Written on the Forehead with Nine E the Observer's song, just playing on a loop in my head. And to me, that was some indication that there was a resonance there. And then I began to experiment with making loops from the music and seeing if I could marry the two.
Date palms and orange and tangerine trees, and eyes are crying for everything.
Of course, they also have other connotations. If you're going to lift something, you have to be aware of its reference points. And I only used things that I felt also would enhance the meaning of the song that I was working on. For instance, a song like England uses that sample from a Kurdish, very ancient Kurdish love song. And it's sung by an Iraqi woman called Kasim Miro. And she's singing a love song to a man, but it's in Kurdish, sung by an Iraqi woman, and I'm singing a love song almost to my country. And to have married the two and the way that the voices meet had a great deal of importance to me.
Let's hear that song. It's called England. It's from the latest PJ Harvey release called Let England Shake. England is the name of that track from Let England Shake, the latest release from PJ Harvey, who's with me on Soundcheck today. You mentioned before that this is the basis of this was really a careful kind of research into war but the human stories of war. It's a very, unfortunately, a very universal tale, but there are some songs that are kind of specific. It seems like at certain points, you focused in on World War I and even on a specific campaign in Turkey. What was it about Gallipoli that sort of drew you several times over the course of this record?
Well, I began with our contemporary wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, And as I was becoming more involved in researching those wars, I realized that to have a greater understanding, I needed to go back further, particularly to... I was interested in the other times that Britain has invaded Afghanistan, which, of course, led me back. And finally, I got back to World War One, and I began reading about the Gallipoli campaign and was so moved by the huge mismanagement and the terrible loss of life. It made me think a lot about our contemporary wars, the same great loss that I feel. And I just found myself going further and further into wanting to know more about the Gallipoli campaign. I felt I'd so overlooked it before, and I felt that I needed to really take a long look at that. And I think about three of the songs on the record relate specifically to it. But the thing that really struck me was the amount of reading that I did about wars as even thousands of years back that is recorded in some way, shape or form, was that the language used to describe those experiences by the people that were actually there involved, whether it was soldier, civilian on either side, is the same. It's the same language as what you hear soldiers or civilians talking about now. The suffering and the way it's described is the same. And that really struck me. And so that was the language I wanted to look at.
You can't help, I can't help hearing you talk about this without thinking of the famous old expression of people who don't know history being doomed to repeat it. And here we are, you know, another misadventure in the Near East. But it's the Gallipoli campaign that's at the heart of this song from P.J. Harvey's album Let England Shake. This is called All and Everyone.
Death was everywhere in the air. Off the mounds of Bolton's Ridge, good rest and courage. When you rolled a smoke or told a joke, it was in the laughter and drinking water. It approached the beach, the strings of cutters dropped in the sea.
That's called All and Everyone. It's from P.J. Harvey's latest release, the album called Let England Shake. This is one of three tracks on the record that specifically mentions the Gallipoli campaign of 1915. But the album really talking about the universal story, the very human stories of people caught up in war. I was struck, Polly, the first time I heard this by the really beautiful but very mournful sound of the horns, the brass instruments here. Who is that playing?
Well, when I was demoing the songs, it was just me on the saxophone, and I used to play saxophone very well. I actually learnt it from age 11 till 18, and I took exams on it, and I was a very good player at that time. I had soprano, alto and tenor saxophones, and then I'd pretty much packed them away in their boxes for 20 years. And for some reason, when I was writing the music to go with these words, I just knew that it was time to get the saxophone out again. And it's a tenor sax, so I'm playing the tenor sax badly. But I actually quite like the sound of it played badly. I'm not a huge fan of a well-played saxophone these days. It leaves me a bit cold. But to hear one played quite badly, it is rather mournful, like you say. And also, there's John Parish on a trombone. Likewise, he hasn't really played it since he was at school. And Mick Harvey is on a bass harmonica, which we only bought when we started recording, so none of us could play that. And what you end up with is rather a sad-sounding, sort of Northern England Salvation Army band, which is perfect.
Or a colliery band or something like, miners' band.
So. Yes, yeah, it's perfect for this.
It's from the P.J. Harvey album called Let England Shake. And we'll take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation with P.J. Harvey. You're listening to Soundcheck. Up next, more with P.J. Harvey, and then coming up later, a live performance in the studio from the country soul artist Jason Isbell and his band The 400 Unit. Stay with us. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're speaking today with the English singer and guitarist, and as it turns out, once again, sax player as well, P.J. Harvey. The new album is called Let England Shake. In the background, you're hearing a song from her second release, the 1993 album Rid of Me. Let me just, before we get back to the story of the record, Polly, let me ask you a question about nomenclature. You're Polly Jean Harvey. You've recorded as both P.J. Harvey and as Polly Jean Harvey and your work with John Parrish. So is P.J. Harvey the name for the band?
No, it's the name that I go under as a solo artist, really. Although, of course, it was the name of the first band, the three-piece band. I think, really, that's the only time I'd say it felt like a band, those early years, for Dry and for Rid of Me. But when that band dissolved, it really couldn't continue. You know, from then on, I've experimented and I've worked with many different players, but always under the name P.J. Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Except for the John Parrish.
Yes, I suppose that, for me, that's the way I make the differentiation, because it's not my work, it's a collaboration. And so I use my entire name mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah. Now, John Parrish, and you also mentioned Mick Harvey before, they are the band on Let England Shake. And again, for an artist who has had many quicksilver changes in your career, there's been a certain continuity of working with these guys.
Yes, not just John and Mick, but Flood, as a producer, I've worked with over and over again, and Jean-Marc Butty. I originally was using him as a drummer in 1995, you know, so I've worked with him a long time, and he's on this record too. But yes, I tend to gravitate to people that I've worked with before, because the reason that I ever found them in the first place is because there's a likeness of soul and an understanding that goes beyond words. And I need those people to help me realize what I'm trying to make. I don't have to explain things too much to them because they know, because we're all really traveling the same path musically anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's why I keep coming back to them. I mean, not only for that likeness of soul, but because they're extraordinary players, and they're players that have that soulfulness, that have a feel, that we all tend to inhabit the same furrow of ground, if you like, in the way that we play. There's a certain place in the beat that we sit, and everybody's different, but in that way, and different musicians sit in a different place in the furrow in the ground, but we all sit at exactly the same point, and it makes it a joy to play with people that are in that same area.
Well, let's hear all of you working together back in 1995. This is P.J. Harvey's song, Down by the Water, from the album To Bring You My Love.
My lovely daughter.
The song is called Down by the Water from the 1995 album To Bring You My Love by my guest PJ Harvey. Her latest album is called Let England Shake. When you made this record, you were all in a church, right? I'm sure decommissioned is not the right word for a church, but a church that's no longer used as a church.
Yeah, it's used now as an art center, apart from christenings and funerals. So if it still belongs to a certain parish in Dorset, and if somebody wants to be buried there or have their child christened there, they can, and that's the only time there are services there.
So this was where Let England Shake unfolded.
Yeah, that's where it was made. In fact,
God's green earth out there in Dorset.
We rented the church for 5 weeks, and we were told that there should be no interruptions unless there was a funeral or a christening, but it was very unlikely. And within the first 2 weeks, there were two funerals. And the thing was that every time there was a funeral, we had to pack down the entire equipment. So we lost about, throughout the 5 weeks, we must have lost a week's worth of time packing down gear and resetting it back up. And we were just hoping and praying that nobody else was going to die.
Not because you didn't want people to die.
We were running out of time. I think we ended up, we were recording till about 5 a.m. on the last night. I still had 2 vocals to do. That's how much time we lost to the funerals.
We're speaking with PJ Harvey. The album is called Let England Shake. You talked before about how you wrote the lyrics first, so the words were all done. Then you set them to music. And it occurs to me that that's how classical composers create a song cycle.
Mm.
You know, Schubert setting Goethe or Heine or one of the great romantic poets. Do you see this as a kind of a modern song cycle?
I suppose I do in a way. I write poetry every day and prose, and I see myself as the years have progressed that I've become much more interested in writing, and writing has become my main focus and my main passion. But I also love performing and singing and rapping music around those words. Not all of them, some just remain poems, and it's something that I'd like to pursue more in the future, is just concentrating on words more. And I'm sure that more albums are going to involve this kind of overarching theme in the way that this one has, because the way that I write has changed in that way.
Well, as you mentioned before, the dual themes of England and war are here, both as universal, very human themes. There are specific moments. The song, The Glorious Land, sort of hints at the universality, because it's O England, but it's also O America, you know, as if to say, you know, our problem is your problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wrap up with this. It's from the album Let England Shake by PJ Harvey. And Polly, it has been a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been really great to talk to you.
This is Soundcheck. Still to come, a live performance in our studio by Jason Isbell, formerly of the Drive-By Truckers, with his band The 400 Unit. They'll join us next on Soundcheck. How is our glorious country song?